I came only to take your darshan. What I told? No. Or Prabhupada Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had told that those who are assembled here and hearing me, all are my guru. I respect them. If they were not here, then to whom I will have told so many Harikatha, pastimes of Krishna? By seeing them, inspirations come in my heart to speak on glories of Krishna, the glories of pastimes of Krishna. So you are all my guru. And a guru thinks like that. If he does not think like that, he is not a real guru. Makes disciple. Never. He always makes guru. So, the disciples of bona fide guru are really gurus. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told, Jare dekho, tare koho Krishna upadesh, amar agyay guru haiya taro ei desh. Oh, go, be guru, and you should preach everywhere that you should do Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Maya cannot touch you now because you are guru. And they became like so. Say, a guru never makes any disciple, but he makes to whom he touches, he becomes like a guru. So I honor you like pure devotees. That is why I came. That before sleeping, I should take darshan and then I will go there.
Un vrai guru ne fait jamais de disciple.
I'm requesting Nodip Prabhu that he should tell us the sum and substance that he gave class today.
Maharaj demande donc à Nodip Prabhu de résumer la classe d'une heure et demie que je viens de donner tout à l'heure.
Very short time, within 10 minutes.
Om Jnanatimanandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Maritam Jnana Tadmai Sri. So although I'm not fit to speak on these matters, I'll simply try to repeat some of the remnants from what I have heard from Srila Gurudev. By his mercy, we can try to repeat a few things. And I started out by saying today that just as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he wanted to give the remnants of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur had already discussed the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So he said that actually he is the Vyas of Chaitanya Leela, and what is my position to speak anything further? But I will simply try to take the remnants and speak on those things that he did not elaborate on at length. So similarly, I thought it would be appropriate, since this book is so elaborate and Srila Sanatana Goswami has given such wonderful and very lengthy commentary, and our time is very short. So Gurudev is giving such wonderful classes, but still summarizing. So I wanted to try to fill in a few details that he had not spoken from the sections he had already spoken on. So we began to describe that in the first chapter, there were two personalities who were that Narada Muni encountered. One was the Brahmana from Prayag, who performed this ceremony, this utsav, of worshipping the Lord and feeding all the Vaishnavas and Sankirtan. And the other was the king from South India. And both of these two personalities they come under the category of what is known as Bhoma. This first chapter is known as Bhoma. Bhoma means this earthly realm. So Sanatana Goswami's purpose is to show who has the topmost mercy of the Lord. And in doing so, he will show all the different levels. What are people's conception of bhakti? What are their people's conception of what it is to have the Lord's mercy? So the very beginning level is this bhoma, this earth sphere. What do people think it is to have the mercy here? What is their idea of bhakti? So this conception is revealed through these conversations between Narada and the Brahmin, and Narada and the king. And there are some specialities in these conversations. That first Narada, he first glorifies the Brahmin, and then the Brahmin, and whoever else he is glorifying, there are two characteristics. First, the person who has been glorified, he will say, well, no, actually, I'm not a recipient of the Lord's mercy. And he will say why he's not. And when he's explaining why he doesn't have the Lord's mercy, he's actually exposing his mentality, what his idea is to have the Lord's mercy. And then when he goes on to glorify the next person, well, no, actually, I don't have the mercy, so-and-so has it. And then he will describe why that person has the mercy. In that also, he will reveal more about what he's thinking, that who has the Lord's mercy. So, for example, in the case of the Brahmana, okay, go ahead. Glorified by Narada Muni, he mentioned three things. He said, actually, I'm not really able to give charity. Although he came, he performed this festival, he fed thousands of people, fed the Vaishnavas, fed the Brahmanas, all the different castes, all living entities. Thousands of people were fed, and not just ordinary khichdi, but very, very succulent prasadam. But he says, I'm not able to give charity. And the second thing he mentioned was that really I don't have any opulence. Although he was wealthy, he was the administrator of that area, and he came with his family members, with servants, so many things. But he said, I don't have opulence. And the third thing he said was that, where is my worship of the Lord? So what does he mean by this? What he means will be indicated further as he begins to glorify the king. What he means is that his idea of bhakti, or his idea of having the Lord's mercy, is that if one can give a lot of charity, then he has the Lord's mercy. If one has a lot of opulence, then he has the Lord's mercy. And his idea of worship, Bhagavad Bhajan, means simply to put on some big festival. That is Bhagavad Bhajan. Not that 24 hours a day he is engaged, and whether he has money or no money, whether he's able to feed anyone or not, but 24 hours a day he is sitting, he is chanting, remembering the Lord. That is real bhajan. But this Brahmana, his idea of bhajan is to come and do this kind of a festival. But he is only able to do it perhaps once a year. He's doing some festival like this. So actually, none of these things have anything to do with bhakti. Therefore, throughout this book, as Gurudev has been instructing us, that we should understand everything in terms of Rupa Goswami's famous verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anakulina Krishnanu Shilam Bhakti Rutama. Uttam Bhakti means to have unalloyed devotion, to do everything exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. So one who is doing that on the highest level, ultimately we will come to the position of Braj and the position of the gopis, those persons who have Uttam Bhakti of that standard, they can be said to have the topmost mercy of the Lord. But in the Brahman, we don't find that he has any such idea. He's thinking, I'm not able to give so much charity, I don't have so much opulence, and I can't put on festivals like this all the time, maybe once a year. So actually his idea of bhakti is, there's no real idea of bhakti there.
So tell that, whether a person is rich or poor, where he is old or boy, whether he is sick or not, whether he is pure or impure, whether is anyone characterless or characterful, bhakti not depend on this. if there is Shraddha, then all whole world and all, even creepers, animals, wretched persons, highest persons, all are qualified for bhakti. And bhakti makes them so pure. You can chant in night, you can chant lying on the bed, keeping your feet there, no harm. It will have some effect. If you are lying down, if you are sleeping, and fire comes, fire has some effect and burst it. Whether you are willingly praying him, not praying him, what you are doing, not, you are poor or you are rich, you are pure, impure. If fire like this, then Krishna name, Krishna bhakti, so we have all qualified to do bhakti. This is the aim and object. Yes, sir.
Namadhin
Prabhu disait. No harm. He is greater than that Brahmin.
Même si quelqu'un
seeing speciality in these dialogues between Narada and the various persons that he is interviewing, many, many subtle points are there, Sanatana Goswami has described. So one is that when he glorifies someone, of course, all of them, they will deny what he says and explain why it doesn't apply to them. But how they respond, exactly how they deny, there is some difference there. And there is a gradation in how they respond also. For example, the Brahmin, when after Narad glorified him, he flatly denied what Narada said. And he just came right out and said, what you are saying, it is not true. But then when we go to the king, we see that he didn't behave quite so, he didn't respond quite so directly to Narad. But first of all, he lowered his head in shame. And then after that, he worshipped Narad. And then he began to respond. And how did he respond? He didn't just come out and say, no, what you're saying is wrong. But he said that you are glorifying me, but you're doing it without really giving full consideration to the matter. So he's a little more, we can see his mentality is above the Brahmins. He's a little more respectful in the way that he's dealing with Narada. And then when it comes to Indra, after hearing the glorification, Indra responds by addressing Narada, and he says, Bho Gandharva Kala Abhigya. This is how he addresses him. Gandharva Kala Abhigya means, oh Narada, you are very expert in the arts of the Gandharvas. Why? Because the Gandharvas, they are very expert in singing and praising. And in the course of praising, they can give so many false praise like this. They can give very, very expert, nice-sounding praise, but actually that doesn't amount to anything. So this was his intention. So he doesn't directly come out and say, oh, what you're speaking is false. He's saying, no, Narada, you're so expert in the arts of the Gandharvas. In other words, what you're saying is completely false. It doesn't apply to me. So we can study all of these features as he goes on and praises other persons. We see how they respond, and we can see some gradation there in this.
To be excused, tomorrow we will again come in class. I know that Navadvip Prabhu is so qualified and he is giving so strong Harikatha. So we should hear all these things and try to all to cultivate in our hearts so that very soon we will be very qualified devotees. Don't take here and give it here. Try to take in your hearts. and thus be qualified devotee. Today? Yes. If it is ready, so. So he is doing kirtan, you should make them ready. At once.
Young girls would like to perform a very short dance which they have made themselves. Radha and Krishna dancing with the gopis.
Jaya Radhi Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Jaya Radhi Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Jaya Radhi Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Janakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Jama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Jamuna Jaya Yamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Yamakunda Radha Kunda Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Jama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan